to Go Mission, a monthly program on the The Generation podcast designed to highlight amazing accounts of gospel advance and equip you to join Jesus in his Go Mission.
Hello once again, and welcome to our Go Mission podcast. And today I have the privilege of speaking to you from the amazing country of Ghana here in West Africa. And the Lord has brought me up to the northwest side of this country, to the town of Laura. And sitting with me here today are some friends in the ministry. Pastor Charles, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us. And then his son, Brother Abednego, it's good to also have you.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to have you. It's good to have you too.
Amen. I have enjoyed greatly being with you all, really, for the first time here over these last several days. And thank you for giving me and my family just a warm welcome, taking care of us. And it's been a privilege. Well, let's just get started. Pastor Charles, God has been using you up in this field, this side of Ghana, for about how many years now have you been pastoring and church planting here?
Since 2000 that I came into the ministry in Laura here.
Right. From about the year 2000 prior to that, we could talk about your, I don't know if we have time to hear your story, how God brought you to Christ, and you even had some training that you were involved in. But your ministry up in this side really began around the year 2000. Yes. So now for some 25 years, God has been directing you. I want to begin here by just jumping ahead to recently, how that the church you were leading in the village of Bagri, is that correct? Bagri, the Rest Baptist Church. And you told me how that at the end of 2025, God has begun to give you a very focused burden and vision that you've been sharing with your people, calling your church to. Could you just describe what that vision is and how God has developed that and put it on your heart?
You know, to begin with, I got saved in a church that is mission-minded. That's the Solid Rock Baptist Church. And I have been involved in the church, starting other churches and making it sure that the work should not be standard, stagnant. It should be shared out from community to community. And I've been part of Solid Rock to start Lighthouse Baptist Church in Numbua, and then Bethel Baptist Church. And I had a transfer of my work up to the north. And all because I had a call to go into the ministry.
Amen.
To serve. And with that background, when I eventually got trained to go into the mission field, it has been my wish and the goal that we should plant churches. We shouldn't just be at one spot. So when I got to Barry and we started as a fellowship, the moment we became inaugurated as a church,
yes,
within 2-3 years, we had to move into another community called Olbi and started one there. The next 1 or 2 years, we went to Meto and started one there.
Amen.
But I realized that I didn't have the workforce to continue to be planting. You can't go and start a church when you don't have somebody to take care. And that also comes back to one of my first prayers, because when I got to Barra, I said, God should give us people to be trained to know how to read a Bible, And that brought about the idea of starting a school.
Yes.
And we started a school. And so by 2025, I got convicted that it is time to at least begin to go out again after we have started these two fellowships and stopped for some time. Mm. I saw that this was another good time to start some fellowships somewhere. Because we had supported a student in the Bible school and got him graduated. And so we decided that we should send him to somewhere. While he's been in training, I've been talking with him that when he finished, he would not have to be in Barre. We need to send him somewhere. So he should choose a place. I gave him a number of places, and he selected one. That's what God will want him to go. I asked him to pray about it. And so when he graduated, we first needed to admit him into church as an associate pastor and to commission him to go into mission. And I realized that we needed support to do that. So I decided that we organize a period of preaching about faith promise giving for mission. And so with their prayers and arrangement, we dedicated the whole of November 2025, that is 2025, to talk about faith promise giving for missions.
Amen.
And so we said that our team will be his last command, our first consent. So we are to make his last command our first consent. Does not mean if you cannot go yourself, you cannot send somebody. So your financial support can help somebody go. That's why I said that you promise by faith that you will give this to support mission. And by all means, with your faith on God to provide. Not that you should be assured of where you get. You know that you are not sure of getting, but you are promised by faith that God will let you have it to give, to honor.
Amen.
So we decided that I invite speakers specially to come and speak on promise giving.
Mm-hmm.
And we had three pastors from WA coming to speak on why you should give for missions. And within that same period, we inducted Pastor Zacchaeus into the church as an associate pastor. And at the same time, commissioned him to go into the mission. And the area he chose was Duorbo. So in December, we went to Duorbo and had a number of days crusade there. That was Friday, Saturday, and on Sunday, we started the check for him to pastor.
Praise the Lord.
And somehow, I proposed to do it for the period, that is from November back to November 2026.
Yeah.
We would try to establish two churches. And so after we have had that one in Duol Guo, we now have to focus on the other areas we want. And while doing that, I also had to earmark a number of people that I want to use.
Yes.
And I made it known to them. And I asked that everyone should pray and point out where he would want to go. Specifically mentioned Abed, Timothy, and Solomon. And I made it known to them that I want to send them out.
Amen.
And so I gave them areas. I mentioned about Sambo, Kokol. We have immediate places like Kabir and Kowop. And we have Bear. We have Tongo Zakpen. We have before Papari. And many other areas that we have built schools.
Yes.
Through Savannah Education Trust. Because anytime we go to build a school at a community, I tell them that we will intend bring the word to them. But that will be a lost leader.
Yes.
And so I mentioned this area and said, everyone should pray, these three people, they should pray which place they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I also asked the leadership, the deacon board, and all church workers that we all work in the church to be praying about these areas I have mentioned. And it will turn out that when a good number of people are all talking about one place, that means that is where we have to go.
Beautiful.
And that to when we make known to that area, the three people I mentioned should also pray about whether that will be the area he can go. And so when I asked them at a leadership meeting, Abed, Timothy, and Solomon, which of you got it, turned out that everyone was pointing to Sambo Kokore. And so I asked the three people I have mentioned to, which of them think that he will go to Sambo Kokore? Timothy first mentioned that he will want to go. Abed also said he will want to go. I gave them some time to confer and see who should really go. And I know that at one of our leadership meetings, I asked them to come back. Now that we are together, I said, you meet alone and confer who should go. So you tell us, now that we are in a meeting, who will go? And Papalo said, I think at the time, he will leave it for Abed to go.
Mm-hmm.
And Abed said, yes, he will want to go. So from that time, we started praying about the day we can go. And so we all cited this week.
Yes.
That we should go there from Friday, that will be 5th, Saturday 7th, and Sunday 8th of March. It should start the fellowship day for him.
So in this way, you've really been trusting the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
To show you where you should go.
Should go.
And who should go.
Yes.
And really putting it before the people to seek how he would burden them for where this would be and what part they should be in it. I love that. So as you have put this theme, God is saying now is the time to take this step forward. Something that back in your youth you were a part of, and you now is again, like, this is where we must go. How have you seen, your theme is his last command, our first concern. And how have you sensed the body of believers? You've given them this faith promise challenge. You've given them this prayer matter. Where should we go? How do you feel they're responding?
So, because I have that vision for the year, for this particular project to come on.
Yes.
We made 2025 a year of spiritual growth and service. Mm. By then, I have not declared to them that we will have to make his last command our first concern. But I said that this year, everybody should focus on growing spiritually and willing to serve. And you know, it's always at our meetings, our leadership meeting, we decide the theme for the year.
Yes.
So we all decided this theme.
Yes.
That we should take the year 2025, the year of spiritual growth and service.
Yes.
So the beginning of 2025, we started preaching about spiritual growth and service. And I saw that the epistle of Paul gave us that instructions and direction as to how we will grow and serve. And so I took first, I used the book of Romans.
Mm.
And we studied to know that to first establish our stand as far as our last is concerned, our life is concerned, our status with God. And then at a point, we realize that Paul have made it clear to us that once you have accepted the Lord, you are a child of God and you are part of the command to go.
Mm.
So it is no more that you'll be thinking that somebody should go. You are to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says, go ye everywhere that man is and tell them the good news. So when we got that understanding, and I said, now that we are matured and we are standing, let's now show it by example. And one of the ways we can show it is to the willingness to go.
Yes.
You may not go yourself, but your financial support can let somebody go. So that brought about the faith promise giving. And we decided that the whole of November should be used for preaching about faith promise giving for mission.
Amen.
And so when that happened and I saw that people were interested for us to go, and we began with Zacchaeus, Pastor Zacchaeus going to Dual Goa, and now Abbott willing to go to
Zambokoko. Amen.
That's...
Well, praise the Lord. I have just, as I have come in and we've spent three evenings with many of your people, I have definitely sensed just a ready response. I feel like what you have been saying to your people is exactly what I am bringing, because we have been highlighting that God has a heart for the regions of the world, and that in those regions, we have to get the gospel to every person and to every village, and that in those villages are prepared listeners who are going to receive the gospel and prepared leaders who will become the leaders in the new fellowships.
Yes.
Of churches that God brings to pass. And even this week, I have realized God has prepared laborers to go do this mission, which is exactly what your church is and who your men are as those prepared laborers. And it's so exciting to realize that God is at work in these regions of the world. Now, Brother Abednego, Brother Abed for short. You are the oldest son of Pastor Charles, and it has been a blessing to get to know you as well. Can you, Pastor Charles was kind of hinting that after arriving here about 20, 25 years ago, a couple churches were planted, but then God gave a burden for an outreach through education and the development of schools in the area. And I've observed that this is a component to what God is doing here, and you've been a part of that. Could you just describe just what that education ministry has become, and even mention your role in it?
Okay. Thank you. I think when I got baptized in 2003, I immediately started teaching the Word of God in the church as a Sunday school leader.
Yeah, that's right. Tell us, because you were how old when you got baptized?
I was 13 years old.
Okay, 13 years old.
Yeah.
And you immediately became a teacher. Yeah. All right. Who was it who asked you to be that teacher?
My father.
Your father. I love that his son is 13 years old. You get you're saved, you get baptized, and immediately your father says, here's a ministry for you.
Yeah.
Begin teaching.
Yeah.
So that is about 20 years ago then, or about just less than that, or more than that, somewhere around. So from the age of 13, you have been teaching.
Yes.
Then teaching the Word of God.
Teaching the Word of God.
Okay, so continue.
Making mistakes, learning from them.
Yeah.
And then keep on growing. So I started teaching the Word of God to almost all the leaders currently.
Yes.
That are in our church as the deacons and leaders. I trained them, mostly all of them. So I think that was when I discovered my talent, that I am a teacher.
Yes.
And so I went into to learn as a teacher as by profession. So I went to college, I became a teacher. And then when I became a teacher, I was so passionate about the work that I came, and that was the time my father, through Sovereign Education Trust, established schools. So they were building schools in every village.
Yeah.
So as they were building schools in every village when I came, the funniest thing was that I was preparing to go to Bagore to be a school teacher at Bagore, and then to support the church to nurture the youth at Bagore. Then the Lord has a different plan for me. I had to go to another village called Pavu, which was a very difficult place. So over there, I discovered a lot about teaching, how to use different teaching techniques to at least get people to learn and understand the way and understand the concept, the ideas of teaching. The concept and ideas of teaching, like mathematics, science, and so forth. So through that, I was successful, and in fact, the school was the third school they went and established. When they were going to establish the school there, the district the education directorate at that time said that the school, the community there do not deserve a school, because they have sent them a school for the first time, it did not work. They sent the second time, it did not work. And you are saying you're going there to establish a school for the third time, that it wouldn't work. So when I finished from college and I came, they sent me to that particular community.
God gave you a difficult assignment.
Difficult assignment. Lo and behold, the school is still there, still functioning, and still effective. So through that, Sovereign Education Trust got to a point where they realized that they needed somebody to look after all the schools they have built in the community, the Lora municipality, to develop their quality, to improve upon their quality. Yes. And so looking at my work at Pavo, they saw that I was best fit for the job, and then they gave me the opportunity. So when I came in, I took it upon myself. We did so many research and learnings, and then we started by way of going to every school. So first, what we did was to bring a curriculum in place, develop a curriculum that we will use. And we know this curriculum is best to really help teachers to become more effective and efficient in their classrooms. So we developed that curriculum. And then the next is now to to reach all teachers, we can't bring all of them at a venue or at a center and train them.
Yes.
So what we need to do is to look for a model, a structure that really works.
Yes.
And so we decided to pick every school a head teacher, an assistant head teacher, and then a curriculum lead. A curriculum lead is a master teacher, someone they think among all their teachers that he is the best. He is the one supposed to go and learn this and come and train us. So that's a master teacher,
yeah.
Curriculum lead. So they will all come from all the 10 communities, the 10 schools in all the 10 communities. They will come into the center here, and then I will train them in that particular curriculum. And in training them, I don't train them all the curriculum. We have a laid down step by step which one you need to start with first before you move to the next one. So they will train, they will learn like 2 strategies, sometimes 3, depending on the difficultness of the strategy. Some of them are just question and answer strategies. Others are how to explain the whole concept. So explain the whole concept means that's the whole lesson. So starting from introduction up to the end. But question is just within how you interact and engage with learners. So we will take them all this, either 2, 3, every term. So let's say, for example, this term, we only train them 2 of the strategies. Then they'll go back to their schools and we'll organize and make sure that they have in-school CPD. That is another training in their schools.
Okay.
So these teachers, the head, the assistant head, the curriculum leads, when they come to the center here, they become trainer of trainers.
Yes.
So they are now supposed to go back to their school, organize a training in their school, and train their teachers.
Yes.
Now, when we do that, I don't sit here and assume that they have done it.
Yeah.
So I have to go and be there as they are doing it. Then I quality assure and support them to get the concept and do it well.
Yes.
Then I move to the next school and to the next school. Now we have also grown from the 10 schools.
Yes.
To 60.
Yes.
Two schools now. To 62 schools now.
Yes.
And I can't do the 62 schools alone. So now I have to, thankfully the schools are, the system is such that we build the schools and we hand the schools over to the government. So the schools are government schools.
Yeah.
So they are part of the system. And so there are system leaders that are supposed to go out to these schools and support them. And we call them school improvement support officers. And in the Lora municipality, there are 6 of them and only 6. So I had to involve them, met their director, tell them about the vision. They bought into it. So I called them. So they are always part of my team. They are part of the trainers. Some of them also train the teachers too as well. And then when it's done, we all go, we share, we move out together. And then they then also support in looking at how the trainings have been done. We don't just end it there like that. We come back the next week or we give them 2 weeks time. We then go back to observe every teacher.
Yeah.
And then coach the teacher.
Yeah.
Give feedback to the teacher on the practices. And the essence of this is not to come and find fault or to come and look for your weaknesses in the practices. Not yourself, but the practice. And then guide you to understand the practice and be able to practice it and become efficient. And that has been the work I have done so far for 4 years now.
Yes.
And I've led this, yeah, for 4 years now. And with that, I also trained the CISOs, that's the school improvement officers, to ensure that they also understand the concept, understand the vision, and can do effective coaching. So I continue to train them on coachings, how to do effective coaching.
Yes.
And then we all go together and practice again.
Yes. Now, this is significant. Partly, this has come out of Pastor Charles' burden for the educational development of young people so that they can know the Word of God, they can think clearly, follow Christ, and then plant churches, literally become leaders because they can read, they can think. So that's why that education priority God placed on his heart, you know, some years ago. But I am just hearing what you're saying, and I'm wondering if others listening are hearing what I'm hearing, because what you've described is just a powerful application of the kind of leadership development that is demanded when you take seriously
yes.
the Great Commission.
Yeah.
Because think with me, is it not a right goal to have a school for every village? Absolutely. So if you're going to have a school for every village, how many schools is that going to be? And how many teachers is that going to involve? And what leadership structure, what process will you have to put in place to support that? That's exactly what you have described. So if you're doing that and learning how to do that with schools, should not we take just as seriously a church in every village?
Yeah, sure.
Stop and think about that. Listener, if it's right to have a school in every village, and if it's possible to have a school in every village, why isn't it right and possible for us to have a church in every village? It's absolutely possible.
Yes, it is.
And do we sit and say, okay, well, one of these years, maybe it'll take 20 years before we get a school in that village. Well, 20 years is a generation that didn't get schooled.
Sure.
Can we just excuse that?
No.
No, we just basically, you know, said to that generation, we're not going to be faithful to you. You can't do that for a school, but you can't do that for a church either.
Sure.
Like, we have to say, what's it going to take to get a church in every village? And we have to do that. We have to do that. So as we have been discussing here, what have you learned that from this rollout of leadership influence in the school level, how's God going to take that? How has he prepared you with that for what it's going to take in the churches? What vision is God giving?
Yeah. You can see that I was just laughing. Because in my life growing up, seriously, any opportunity that comes my way, I see it as an opportunity that God is preparing me towards something. And I think the first time I saw that happen was when I was going out for my uncompost teaching practices at the college. The moment I went to that particular school, the head of the school immediately used me as his assistant. Meanwhile, his assistant was there, but he was using me directly to know how schools are run.
Mm.
So I took it as a learning period, and I did learn. And the experience that I got there for just 1 year helped me to develop the school at Pavo.
Yes.
The same thing when I was teaching at a Sunday school, it got to a point I realized that the others too have also grown. They can read, they can understand. I just said, no, I couldn't continue to do this alone because we have so many people that can also lead. Why not put them on the job?
Yes.
So I started bringing them out. I'll point to them that you next week, you prepare and come in. Come and then train and come and teach. I was doing that. That is how come I got so many good teachers, and I involved them a lot, and they are in the church now serving. And it got to a point, I can remember when Daddy said I should go to Metal and support Metal. Most of the church members were not in agreement. I can still remember. They were like, no, we need him. We need him at Bagre. But then I also did learn a lot too at Metal, because I took Metal as a place of learning. Yes. You see, God wants me to go there to learn something.
Yes.
And seriously, it was when I went to Metal that I learned a lot about the ministry. Yes. And that was when I began to rather come out and say in my heart that maybe this is the calling that God wants me to do, to teach the word of God. And I've been teaching the word of God, but then it was just recently that Daddy asked me to come and teach, to come and preach rather. So when I went and preached, they were saying that I was rather teaching the word. I wasn't preaching. Mm-hmm. I was teaching the word, and which was an encouragement to me.
Yes.
It was something that I felt that this is now my calling.
Yes.
Because I prayed about it severally. And even with that, I was still praying as to which part of the ministry do God really wants me to support.
Yes.
Because if it is to be a pastor, then he should let it become true. If it is any part of the ministry, which I never knew at that time, until you came and then we started talking about missions and then other stuff. And then I saw the vision clear
that yes,
I could relate to what God have done with me at the school, developing teachers to become effective. The same passion that I have with that, it is the same thing I can apply in training as church leaders or church members who really wants to go out and go to their mission. Yeah. It's not necessary for us to wait for another 10 years for another member to commit himself and go to a Bible school.
Yes.
Come, then before we go out.
Yeah.
We got to involve everybody.
Yes.
And so this is one of the greatest things I've learned. Yeah, and I think that God has prepared me continuously. Maybe for this particular purpose.
That's right. For this. We were sitting sharing, and it just struck you so deeply, like God has made me to do this. And the gifts that have been developed are for this. A greater purpose than the schools, the churches multiplying and accomplishing the Great Commission. And that already your teacher gift, which is clear, and then your commitment to training and putting others into that role of teaching and multiplying like that, that is the essence of our ministry. It really, to me, it's the essence of missions, because missions is not planting a church. It's actually training others to plant churches.
Yeah, yeah.
And training others to train others to plant churches.
Yeah.
And already you've got those layers in place and what you have seen in the education realm, and you just flip the script to the church realm and you understand, this is how it works. And I am just absolutely thrilled about how God is just going to play this out.
Yeah.
It's just clearly His timing, it's clearly His will, and praise the Lord that we can share in this together.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Charles, as you just look at the future, you know, at these coming months and years, what do you see God doing?
Yes, I think that when I got this vision clear, and I saw that I have a lot of workers in the church.
Yes.
I started telling them that you will not be in a church. Get ready to go out. I can point on you. You can go this place, go to that, not just to force you to go, but I will let you know that you are to go out. So I've along the preaching and admonishing through the year 2025, I have been trying to allow them to also have a bite of preaching.
Yes.
Of course, I know that the pulpit is not for me alone.
Amen.
Whoever God has a message for and at an appointed time can share it.
And
even our colleague pastors in Wa have testified that that I make my pulpit available to them as anywhere. And so many of them have been given the chance to talk.
Amen.
To preach. Yes, as he said, he has had a chance, Timothy, Solomon, and other rest. And I tell the others that they should be ready. The ball will fall on them any day to stand on the pulpit. As every young man should be ready to go. And so my vision is that as we have already agreed with the Lord, that within this period, November back to November, we should have 3 outreach. We're hoping that if we start the second one at Sabo Kopore, by December,
yes,
we should go to another place,
yes,
for this year.
Yes.
Then we will see what the Lord will unfold for us after November this year.
Yes.
You get it? Because I'm saying that by December, we should have a third church.
Yes.
Meaning that at November, we would have been clear that we are moving to this place.
Amen.
And then whether we can project ourselves for another long call. So that has been my...
Amen.
Yes.
And if God does exceeding abundantly above, maybe something far beyond 3 will be there. Because you're giving the vision for more than 3.
Yes.
And you're entrusting opportunity to more than 3. I've seen them.
Yes.
And if the Spirit of God is moving, I expect he'll do much more than that. And I have gotten to know you, Brother Charles, just number one, as a man of faith. God doesn't do these things if someone's heart isn't dependent on him. This is the work of God. And then I've seen also that you are willing to entrust ministry into the hands of others.
Yes.
And to say, you can do this. Let me guide you. Let me give you my pulpit, because God wants to use you too. Often we're just restricting the ministry opportunity to ourselves, to the one who can do it the best or who's done it the longest. And we end up closing the door to people who would enter the ministry if we gave it to them. And I just value that so much. It just is coming out of you. Clearly your son reflects that. And I'm just thinking, we're talking about young people, some of whom may be 12 or 13 years of age. And I remember there in scripture where it specifically talks about Jesus at the age of 12.
Yes.
Where he was speaking with the elders of the temple. They were learned and he was on their level. Like he valued these same doctrines and truths, and it was important to him, and they were impressed by his knowledge. I think that little moment in Jesus' life shows us what it means to be 12 years old, what it means to be 13 years old. It's a time to be effectively handling the word of God yourself. And that's exactly what you did, Brother Charles, with your son, because you didn't just tell your 13-year-old to attend Sunday school. You told your 13-year-old, here, you can teach Sunday school.
Yes.
And that 13-year-old boy came to church every Sunday to teach, not to listen, to lead, not to hear. What are we doing with our teenagers? I think we are selling them so short. When they should be becoming leaders, they should be becoming teachers for years. We wonder why we're losing them. The reason why we're losing them is because we're not giving them these opportunities to actually step into significance. We talk about their potential. We pound, your potential, your potential, your potential. I know it. Teenagers get sick of hearing that. They do. Because they say, if you're talking about my potential, how come you're never giving it to me?
In our family devotion,
yes,
when he was still young with me, sometimes I allow him to lead.
Yes.
The devotion.
Yes.
And just like we read, everybody will read a verse round, just the way we've been doing these days. And then I'll ask him to tell us what he has seen in the verses. And so when he got baptized, I was not doubting that he'll be able to teach.
Yes.
That was why I commissioned him.
Because you'd seen him already doing it in the family environment. And I think about just your discussion, and like, this is what we've been doing. We call it Discovery Bible Study. You were just telling me how that, Brother Abed, how that when you were, I think it was in a school setting where you began to lead, and just describe a little bit about how this, a simple, really Discovery Bible Study group just kind of fell into your lap. Tell me about that.
Just as I said from the beginning, that God is always preparing you with opportunities. That when I got the opportunity to be teaching Sunday schools, so when I then went to college, at that particular place, when I went that particular region, there's no Baptist church around, so just the school there. And so this group, they call themselves Presbyterian Students Union. They are just a small Milo group. So in the hall that I was staying, all of them were Presbyterian students. So they invited me to their fellowship because they see what I do in the morning, because I don't hide it. In the morning, I get up and I pray, read the Bible, then I pray. So they saw it, and then they said I should come, and then invited me to their fellowship on every Friday. When I went there, it was so small group that the way they took Bible study seriously, I was touched.
Mm-hmm.
And from that instant, I started, I also knew from my father, who used to say that even if you can teach the word and you go to a church and the pastor who is supposed to teach the word is not present, then when the Holy Spirit really touches you, then you should get up and teach the word. Don't say because the pastor is not there. No, nobody will have the opportunity to learn the word. Give them the word if you are touched. Already I've learned teaching, from teaching the word of God for so many years before I went to college. So inside there, they have prepared their outline for a whole year. And then there are some verses for each topic and then title. And then the pastor who is outside, who pastors a church outside, is supposed to come and then take the word and lead them. Now, it got to a point within that period, all my stay there, the pastor never came.
The pastor never came the whole time?
The whole time. But then, that's where I came in.
Right.
Anytime I get there and I realize that the pastor, they will say that the first time they was like, that the pastor is not coming, so they only sing song and get up and go. And I said, no, where is the verse that we're supposed to learn? Then they showed me, I picked my Bible, I opened, and what was the theme they mentioned, I read and see whether the Bible verses align with the theme. That if it aligned with the theme, I would just take them.
Yes.
Did it just within 15 minutes. No, close to 5 to 10 minutes. I just got up and I led them. Since from that end, I've been teaching them until I completed the school. And that was one of the opportunity, one of the things I did that I knew that teaching the word was actually my gift.
Yes.
Was actually one of my talents.
So you just became the leader of that group.
That group.
A very sober-minded young people.
God decided to block the pastor from coming.
Yeah. God did not allow the pastor to come so that you could lead it. And you would discuss that passage together, learn it together in a very organic, discussion-oriented learning. Because that's what was the purpose of it. And it was powerful.
Yeah.
Day by day. So even that dynamic can become the birth of these churches in these villages. And you've experienced it, and you can lead others how to do that. And that is one of these tools. So as we've come, we've been able to give some training with giving your testimony, giving a clear gospel presentation, and leading a Discovery Bible study. Three very important components to church planting and to spiritual growth as a new group of believers, to equip people to tell their testimony, to give the gospel, and to study the Word of God in a very simple way. And it just, the potential we can see, we can get the church to every village. Yeah. We can reach every place. And God is being faithful to the harvest field.
Yeah. I think that has been his vision.
Yes.
My father, to make sure that every village we have a church.
Yes.
And God bless him with the first vision of developing people educationally first, because at that time we do not have the Bible in our local dialect. Even if it is in our local dialect, how many people will be able to read it and be able to teach the way? And so making sure that all the villages we have school there, then later, if the Lord will, the Lord will then send all the churches there as well. Because at that time, the school would have developed people already who are ready and can study the word. They have the tools, and then they need someone who will just be there to guide them and support them so that they matured and know God's word.
It has been such a joy for me to be here, because this really is the vision of Go Mission and the message of Go Mission, that we're responsible to get the gospel to every creature and get a church to every village. So often when I speak about these things or present them, I just feel like in those who are listening, that is, there's a disconnect. It's like I'm talking about something that isn't real, that could never happen. And I just keep preaching, because what else can I preach, right? But when I come here, and probably the strongest time I've ever felt it, I have felt in the audience, in the church, the echo of faith back that says, yes, we can do this. Yes, we must do this. That completing the Great Commission region by region is possible. And I think in my heart, more than ever, my faith is growing stronger, that we must take responsibility for the regions that God has placed us in. And I'm just excited about what God is going to do. And hopefully we'll be able to give some updates in the coming months and years about how the gospel is progressing throughout this region. I rejoice in just coming into the history of what's been done, and then joining the faith of what God is going to do. And praise the Lord for your testimonies. And let us pray, those who are listening, that God would work here in this northwest region of Ghana. So always remember that the only way to stay at peace in times of uncertainty and turmoil is to stay on mission with Jesus in his Go Mission.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Generation Podcast. If you have an issue you need help with, we have a resource that can help you. The Battle Plan for Victory is an online resource designed to help young people deal with personal sin issues through the Word of God, and ultimately, to find victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. To view the Battle Plan, please visit thegeneration.org/victory.